This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Into the Midday Show.
Woo!
A little loud there. That's all right. Wow, Abe Gordon and Randy McMichael joining you here. We are live at Hooters of Kennesaw, 2102 Old 41 Highway. Looking forward to a big day, a lot of basketball discussion, and apologies that Andy's not able to join us today. Little man caught a little bug overnight, and Andy's taking care of business. Certainly we send our best wishes out to a little man there. Randy, it's a happy hour Friday. How are you?
Hey, what's happening? I'm good. Like I said, up here in Gwinnett, Hooters, all that other good stuff. And yeah, I got to text this morning that little man was not himself. So obviously, Andy had to stay home with him. But we in the house. We will have a good time. There's alcohol. There's Hooters women. Hello, how you doing, ladies? And yeah, it's going to be a good time today.
Yeah, looking forward to it. A lot of stuff to discuss here. The first hour of the Midday Show is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PadleyBuys.com. So we're look, I think the first question you always ask yourself, Randy, after day one, 16 games, separate of the action on the court, how's the bracket looking?
Let's see here.
Now you said you were busted immediately.
I mean, yeah. Crate beating the hell out of Louisville messed up a lot of stuff for me yesterday. But I mean, you look at Georgia; they weren't ready to play. They got absolutely obliterated. And then the whole Clemson, you know, McNee, the way they were able to switch everything up on them, and I'm talking about going from man to zone. Everybody was talking about that from Clemson. Clemson battled, tried to get themselves back in it, and made it a game there at the end. But, yeah, I mean, it's never any more a shock when 12 beats 5 anymore. It's more unfortunate because the ACC only has two teams in.
Yeah.
And you look at me, one of them is the best team probably in the entire tournament, talking about Duke. But you've got North Carolina, who I still have going to the Final Four. But, yeah, I mean, it's always fun this first weekend. And, obviously, we have more games starting today around afternoon to get everything. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, a lot of fun games yesterday. But, yeah, watching Georgia get absolutely obliterated was not fun, but not surprised. And then, again,
like, a little surprise. I mean, the manner in which it happened.
It was just, you know what, they the way they turned the damn ball over in the first half. And to give Gonzaga credit, I mean, they just came out, just punched Georgia in the face. And Georgia could never get anything really going offensively. And then, you know, the experience of, you know, we talked about it yesterday, a battle-tested type unit, battle-tested type coach program in Georgia. They just, you know, never been in this moment.
It looked like a lot of guys team, who
and
maybe,
it just looked, it looked really, really young. But neither here nor there. It was fun for us to get in, and now we look forward to a another fun day.
And hopefully for Georgia, it builds a baseline. We'll talk more about the Dogs, but you know, I didn't watch that game. I went to play pickleball after I got home and ran
the phenomenon that's sweeping the country. Right,
let's roll. Yeah. And after like one or two games, I go down to check my phone and I pull up the score, and it's like. What, that game started at what, 4:30?
Yeah.
And so this is at 4:50?
Yeah.
It's
pretty much over.
I look at my phone.
It's pretty much over.
And it's 25-3.
Yeah. It's pretty much over.
And I said, oh, my goodness. Like that, I mean, yeah. And I almost feel bad for Georgia fans. We saw a bunch of them yesterday when we were out. And, again, we're out at Hooters at Kennesaw today. And, you know, I'm sure yesterday there were a bunch of Georgia fans that came out to where we are right now. And we're gearing up for the game, and you kind of plan your day around it. Say, hey, clear my schedule. I want to get out and have some, you know, some drinks and enjoy this game and watch Georgia do their thing. And 9 minutes into this game, it's a complete day ruiner. If you lose the game.
I don't say day ruiner.
It was maybe I'm a bit extreme.
Yeah,
I'm an emotional fan.
That's how you get sometimes, really, really extreme. But, no, I mean – I wasn't surprised that Georgia got their ass whooped, you know, but man, it was fun to see them in that tournament, a place where this team and this program hasn't been in a while. And as we were talking yesterday, hopefully it's something that they continue to build off.
Yeah.
You saw how special Ace, about how great a player he would be back with this young team and the guys that are coming in. But we all know he's going to the draft. But, yeah, I mean, it was a fun day overall. But I'm just laughing because they say UNC wasn't supposed to get in, right? They lucked in or whatever. They won their game. And then, obviously, Clemson losing yesterday to Nick Need. Then you leave it would have been just Duke because Louisville lost, even though they're one of the best teams in there. And I heard a lot of discussion about the ACC as far as basketball because me growing up, that was the basketball conference. It was the Big East and it was the ACC.
That's right.
And now they're talking about, well, why don't you kind of combine them into some super conference and make the matchups better and all that other stuff. The fact is that – the ACC's basketball is just not where it once was.
Well, you're allowed to have down years, too.
I don't understand, but I think when you look at certain sports, people look at certain leagues as not having down years.
Correct.
And ACC,
agreed.
You don't look for the ACC to have a down year in basketball.
But you also look, there are baselines that conferences set, and certainly the one that you don't expect, year in, year out, the SEC is not going to get 14 teams into the tournament. Year in, year out, the ACC is probably going to get more than four. And they're probably going to have more than, let's be honest, with respect to your bracket here, Randy, I don't think UNC is reaching the second weekend.
Well,
I mean, they'll have their chance, but, you know.
But it's my damn bracket, ain't
it? No, I'm saying.
So if I think that's what's going to happen, then I think that's what's going to happen.
I'm saying bracket aside. When I look at it, I mean, there's potential for there to be just one ACC team
no doubt about it.
Sweet 16.
And it's fortunate if for the people who claim conferences, if their team's not in it, they got one of the best chances. Duke has just as good a chance as anybody to win a national championship. I saw this morning that Cooper Flagg is going to play today.
We'll talk about
that. And then I don't understand. I mean, hey, they said he's going to play today.
Sure.
Don't know how much he's going to play considering who they're playing today. So it don't make no sense for him to go out there and
play
big minutes. He's going to start.
If he's going to play
a couple minutes and go in and go out. But that's not something where you'll see him have his full allotment of minutes and everything tonight because you need him for games down the road. But, it'd be fun to see him out there and watch his Duke basketball team hold the hopes of the ACC. Well, no, because, according to me, North Carolina
also. That's right, of course.
Yes, North Carolina also holds the hopes and dreams of the ACC in their hands.
And North Carolina's taking on Ole Miss at 4:05 today. Really good game yesterday to kick off the evening slate, I think it was. Number 10, Arkansas, and number 7, Kansas, 79-72. And this game was tight all the way through, Randy. This was – I'm not – sitting here trying to say Arkansas's got a shot to go to the Final Four or that Kansas was close. This felt like a relatively high-quality game, though, between those two. And obviously you've got the two historic coaches there. And I don't know, that was just a really fun game, one of the more competitive ones of the day. Houston won by 38 and Alabama won by 20. Purdue eventually pulled away. Wisconsin pulled away. So you know, Tennessee pulled away. You had your kind of – expected higher seeds took care of business. That Arkansas team, though, that one's interesting.
They got, because they got skill.
Yeah.
They got players. And it was one of those things where, you remember, at the beginning of the year, 0-5 to start conference play, and, like, you know,
right,
they just, you know, they're trying to figure these things out because you got all these high-level players trying to get them to play as one unit. And so going into the game, you know, Kansas, we talked about Kansas a couple weeks ago, you know, they started the season preseason number one, and now they're one and done in the NCAA tournament. And I thought Arkansas just, you know, just kept chopping away. And like you said, it was tugging, it was nip and tuck, but you never felt the sense that Arkansas was in trouble. I thought Kansas was making the game, but I thought Arkansas pretty much controlled that game. And like I said, I'm not going to put Arkansas, because now we know who they face next. The matchup, that the one, in my opinion, the most intriguing matchup,
yeah,
because of the coaches and everything. We know their legendary careers and everything. But, yeah, I mean, can Arkansas – can they go into an alley fight? Because that's what St. John's wants to do. St. John's wants to beat you up, get up on your defense. Because if you look at the beginning of their game yesterday, you know, they were bull-jiving around, in my opinion, in St. John. They were bull-jiving around to start the game. Then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, let's go. They're not as good as we are. Let's clamp down on defense, and that'll lead to offense, as that's eventually what you saw. Can Arkansas take care of the basketball? That's
going
to be the biggest thing against the St. John's team, who we know offensively, they're whatever. It's a mixed bag of nuts with them offensively. But defensively is where, you know, most Patino teams, they get after you. And can they figure out a way to do that?
So a couple of things jump out to me about St. John's, and they beat Omaha last night 83-53, but their upcoming matchup with Arkansas, Arkansas's got to get up and down the floor.
They've
got to run, because if you let St. John's set up into their half-court defense, you might be in trouble. And then when you talk about St. John's, a team that maybe has some issues shooting, if you could score the ball, and especially if you do so in transition, you get to set up your defense, and you don't want to give St. John's an opportunity for easy buckets. Late night upset. Number 11 Drake takes out number 6 Missouri, 67-57. Became a 1-point game, somewhere under 4 or 3 minutes, whatever the time was, maybe 2.5. But Drake, I think, got the last 6 or 7 points of the game, whatever it was, ended up holding on. I would say maybe a mixed bag day for the SEC.
Yeah.
You lose Missouri. You lose Georgia. You know, Auburn was always going to do what they did. I think Arkansas looked pretty good. It's certainly Missouri's one that hurts, and they have some possible losses here today. You mentioned UNC already. It's against an SEC team in Ole Miss.
Yes.
Florida and Alabama should handle business. But the game that kicks off today, Baylor and Mississippi State, SEC team that – I mean, that's a very slim margin, just a 1.5-point spread as we head towards tip-off today. So,
well, I think the thing with the whole Ole Miss is that, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, they don't have the size advantage, all those different things. They do take care of the basketball. I think that's one thing that I was reading up on this morning. They're one of the better teams in the conference as far as not giving the basketball away. So we'll see how that goes. Can UNC? I think because they have the bigger team, can they rebound the basketball? Can they force Ole Miss into doing things that they normally don't do? That would be the one interesting thing today about them. And, you know, the A&M, I don't know not a lot about A&M other than that, you know, they pay a lot of money for their football team. But they did beat Auburn going down the stretch.
You got to remember, Yale was a trendy.
About Yale yesterday.
Sure.
We talked about Yale yesterday because of what happened last year. They're in the same positions they were in last year. Can they figure out a way to have that first round magic against A&M today? I would not be surprised. I picked A&M to win this game.
Well, that game was last night.
I picked A&M to win the game, but I wouldn't be surprised.
A&M handled business, but it wasn't. You know, it wasn't overly impressive. You know, they won by 9 points, which is comfortable, right? It's perfectly fine. Are any of those top seeds or top 2 or 3 seeds that kind of blow out City really jump out to you? Houston got off to a little bit of a
no.
Auburn got off to a very slow start.
Yes.
That game was very tight with Alabama State. You know, you also had St. John's, you already mentioned. I don't know, nothing overly impressive.
No. I mean, they just took care of business. Like you said, Auburn, they were playing around. They're playing around, but you got to give South Alabama, you got to give those kids credit because they weren't intimidated. They didn't back down. But yet, eventually, Auburn, more talented team.
Well, and Alabama State came out of the first four, right?
They did.
There's always been that thing where the first four teams got a tourney game under their belts, and this is what plays into UNC, by the way, who, by the way, is a favorite overall. That once you kind of get into the flow, you've played a game, and maybe you get some of those nerves and jitters out of the way. And so we'll see how it plays out today. But, yeah, Auburn off to a slow start. They eventually in the second half, though, pull away. And everything else is relatively chalk. I was a little surprised by UCLA. They beat the absolute heck out of Utah State, 72-47. I don't think it's going anywhere.
No, because they got to play Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't think it's going anywhere. I thought Tennessee was very good. Again, just a 15-point win.
Just watch that game, though. Watch the UCLA Tennessee. I got Tennessee, but I think it's going to be close.
Oh, you?
I think it's going to be close.
You calling it?
I think it's going to be close.
A little double eye for you?
I think it's going to be close.
I feel you. It is the Midday Show. We are live at Hooters of Kennesaw, 2102 Old 41 Highway. Make sure to stop by. They've got games tipping off shortly. Also, you can register. Come here and register. You can win tickets to next Friday's game there, right here in Atlanta, the regional quarterfinal, if you want to call it that. So, actually, it's a regional semifinal. So, we know some of the teams that could be here, including some SEC teams as well. So, and Deshaun Tate's favorite squad, possibly, if they can make a run. So, come on down, Hooters of Kennesaw. It is the Midday Show, hanging out on a happy hour Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dusty Stromer dribbles out the clock. Underseeded? Forget the seed. Gonzaga advancing in the NCAA tournament. They jump on Georgia early, and they come up with an 89-68 victory.
We got off to a really rough start with some live ball turnovers, with them converting, you know, from two and from three. Dug ourselves a big hole. And in the second half, I thought we played more to our identity.
It's too late.
I thought we played a lot better in the second 20. Unfortunately, they made some timely shots.
Yeah, I thought Gonzaga probably took their foot off the pedal a little bit after the 27-3 run to kick off that game. The first 9 minutes, and it was completely over for the Georgia Bulldogs. I don't know what Mike White's supposed to do at that point. When the guys are turning the ball over, you can burn through timeouts all you want. But
I was hoping that when they got like 15-0, I know they were trying to wait for the TV timeout and everything. Call the damn timeout, Mike.
How many times have you seen that TV timeout?
Yeah. Call the damn timeout, you know. But it was that's what I was kept looking like, oh. And then I heard the commentator say, maybe he should. Oh, he's waiting for the whatever timeout. Like, yeah, you might want to get there.
In the meantime, another 5-0 run.
You might want to get there a little earlier, man. But I thought they fought the ass off. And like Coach said, once they stopped turning the ball over, they played a little bit better. Asa was outstanding. I thought he played really, really well, really, really hard for his last game at Georgia. But, I mean, they just couldn't get that, you know, once you try to get back in gear, once you start slow to try and rev things up, like how Clemson did in that second half against McNee, they just couldn't do it because they're not as good as Clemson won. It's a good learning experience, but yeah, you can't go into the NCAA tournament starting the game the way Georgia did against a team that's equal or better than you and think you're going to come back from that.
No, and for me, the way I view this is, okay, it's the first trip for these guys, Mike White, and this has to be the baseline. You have now set yourself as a baseline of, we need to be in the tournament every year. We'll see what we can do once we get there. It's nice to get some of these guys some experience. But you can't go another three or four. Well, he won't be, you know, 3 or 4 years before another tournament berth. He's not still going to be the head coach there.
No.
And, I mean, we can have this discussion every 2 years, Randy. Why is Georgia not better at basketball? You can no longer say football school, right? You got Alabama. You got Tennessee, you got Florida, you got Auburn. There are plenty of football schools in the SEC that are, one, not only getting it done in basketball, but two, doing it with the guys
right.
Georgia needs to be getting to Athens. And so that is the task for Mike White, and this now needs to be the baseline there for the Georgia Bulldogs. But, again, Georgia wasn't going to make a run to win this thing. You know, they were probably going to get blown out. Against Houston.
You got a lot of negative-ass Nancy you today, Abe. I mean, damn, it's
they're
a
not
going
to win this thing.
It's a happy hour Friday, and, hey, or they got to destroy it here and there.
Well, hear me out.
I was going to say, you acting like this damn early in the show, CT, Chris Thomas. Y'all are like, you sit back like,
Randy, it was 27-3.
You're like, damn, no, this has been like this all
People
day.
People built this game up as winnable.
It's been like this since 11 o'clock. Since I'm like, damn,
it's
Abe,
only 27
relax.
Minutes.
Exactly, it's only 27 minutes. We got 2.5 more damn hours with
well,
your ass today. Let me
stuff.
Go and get There's, me a damn drink.
It was one
it
minute.
It's like it's gonna be one of them days with
was,
you, man.
It was right, one minute for us, every point they gave
They already
gave
got
up.
Us in this these close quarters too. So you know, unlike most times when we're together, you are at arm length. You're at arm length right
That's
now.
That's all right.
All right?
That's
you're,
all right.
You're at arm length right now.
Also in Athens, UGA wide receiver Nitro Tuggle and offensive line Marcus Easley were suspended.
Did you see that fool's car?
Yeah.
Goodness,
Marcus Easley was involved in an accident
gracious.
And separate of the Nitro Tuggle situation. He was involved in a car accident. And they're both being suspended indefinitely. I mean, look, I don't know what else Kirby's supposed to do.
Yep, do that right
we've gone through this, too.
Yep.
I mean,
let him go.
Take away play time, short of kicking guys off the team. And I don't even know if that's going to change things. So it's really up to the players to get themselves together, if you will, and figure that out. Braves outfielder, add an outfielder. Alex
yes.
Verdugo to a one-year deal. He's going to start the season in Gwinnett. A little bit of, like, kind of talking and rumors, I guess, about, all right, what does this mean for Kelnick? Is Kelnick on the trade block? Stuff like that. Like, right now, it's just a guy who's been – going to start the year in the minor leagues, and it gives you some options.
I think that's the biggest thing, because every time we have these conversations of, like, the Braves signing a player like this late in the spring training, everything like that, we're like, well, what's that for? And somehow or another, they end up playing in the damn game. They end
sure.
up playing because somebody – so you can never have enough depth. It's not going to upset the apple cart. I don't think it does. I don't think it says anything about Kelnick. I think that's my biggest thing. I think
right.
they know what Kelnick is. He's going to be the fourth outfielder when Ronnie comes back, and then they'll go from there. But I think this is another one of those – boomer bust type thing. I mean, not even a boom. It's a $1.5 million type deal, and he's going to be in the minors. It seems like it's one of those things where remember how we had Adam Duvall in the minors for all those years, and then brought him. It's going to seem to me like a similar type thing to that. What the hell is going on?
They're welcoming people to Hooters because we are at Hooters of Kennesaw. And we invite you to come join us, hang out. The games will be tipping off in the next hour, and so we're looking forward to that. The other thing for Verdugo, he does have an interesting contract. It's actually not a minor league deal,
right,
which we've seen a lot of, similar to what Kimbrell got. He actually has a major league deal, but the caveat of that was that they could send him down one time, and they're using that now. And so be interesting to see when he comes back up. Also, signing guys through the deals, the Falcons. They signed former Lions and Jaguars wide receiver, and probably more so to be used as a return specialist, Jamal Agnew. We're going to ask Joe Patrick about that when he joins us at 12:20. But interesting signing when you see Avery Williams head out and you bring Agnew in, and it seems like a one for one there.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have a guy, and I forgot that Avery signed with the with the Philadelphia Eagles. But you got to have somebody back. That this young man has pretty much done this his whole career. He's a return guy. They're not looking for him to give you much at the receiver position. If that's where people are like, well, what does he slot in and everything like that? Fifth or sixth guy. He's there to return kicks and maybe cover kicks as a gunner. But other than that, it's a position. But you do need that position. You don't have a good returner when you don't have a good returner. I mean, it's one of those things where you got to have him. You got to have a guy back there. I loved Avery. I loved him back there and things like that. But he wanted to move on, and obviously they didn't see him as a priority to keep.
A couple of other games going on here. It is What's Trending. Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker today alongside Randy McMichael. We are at Hooters at Kennesaw here on a happy hour Friday. Hawks are going to host the Warriors Saturday night, 76ers on Sunday night, both State Farm Arena. We'll see if Steph Curry's going to be involved.
I'll tell you out the air. What was so funny?
Well,
I had a funny joke.
But
it has X-rated language in it.
He had a pelvis injury.
Yeah, I mean.
Had to leave the game last night.
I mean, for them to come back and win, I mean, they won the game. Draymond Green shot 14 threes last night. I'll be damn. Go ahead, Dre. Shoot the damn ball, Dre. I mean, those are Steph's tips.
Yeah,
so I'll just take them. Yeah.
I'll just
take them and everything like that. But, yeah, it's – it's unfortunate. Hopefully he can play because people want to see Steph Curry play.
Yeah.
And so hopefully and Steve Kerr said during his presser last night, he could have come back in the game, but you coming to flying across country with a bruised ass, that's not a good feeling because it's going to be sore. His pelvis, I'm sorry. It's going to be very sore. And so you coming across like that, flying across country and everything, stiffens up. So it'll be a wait and see how they go as far as if he plays or not.
Remember, I was joking the other day about a promo I heard on the station that said, "Come see Draymond Green
and
the Warriors."
Yes, that's what I was talking about.
Maybe
Draymond Green and the Warriors. What did y'all know?
Who's not teasing Curry in that promo?
Yeah.
But hey, maybe they knew something we didn't.
Yeah.
Also going on Saturday afternoon, Atlanta United, they're heading to Ohio. They're going to face FC Cincinnati. And it's going to be an interesting roster and formation here because there's so many guys out on the international break. So we'll see what Atlanta United can do. They're trying to get back to the winning ways. The good news for United is some of their more interesting and important players are still available. Alexi Maranchuk, Saba, and Latte Loth did not get called up. Miggy did. And then on the back line, you obviously have Brooks Lennon. And Pedro Amador and Derek Williams. Deion Gregerson's going to be out. Decent amount of starters.
I don't know how many does their opponent have.
They're going to miss a lot. Robinson, who's on Cincinnati, may have been banged up. He may be out.
But they need to go ahead and handle business. We talked all this past week, and we asked Mike, and as we discussed, you know, the more these guys can play together, the better. But as long as you got Latte, he seems like he's found his groove and everything. He should already have about six goals.
A good connection with Brooks Lennon was shown, even though one was offsides. You got the Brooks Lennon connection there. Quick reminder that with the United season back underway, join Jason Longshore every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. He's going to be keeping tabs on the international soccer scene as well, which is important right now because of the international break. U.S. Men's National Team kicked out of Nations yesterday.
Boo.
In the semis. Panama game net business in the 94th minute. Atlanta Soccer Tonight brought to you by your local Ford dealer. Tuesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game
and
Off the Woodwork.
And more importantly than anything, as far as international, Lewis Hamilton takes the pole, baby.
Where's the race?
Here's Japan.
All right.
Yeah, man.
That's going to be an overnight situation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you up for it?
I'll record it.
Okay.
I'll record it.
I was watching.
Yeah, I'll record it.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you on the other side. We do have to hit a break. When we come back, I'll tell you what I watched instead of the NCAA tournament last night and this morning, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
But we're also we're going to talk about the games that are coming up today. Here, another full 16 games on your way here. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. The midday show is going to be right back from Hooters of Kennesaw on the other side on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Down. My girl's like candy, a candy treat. She knocked me right off my feet.
Welcome back into the Midday Show. Andy and Randy, Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker. We're back to calling it first round, right? Promo said opening round.
Yeah.
Opening. For a while, they tried to throw the first four being the first round, and then this was the second, and it threw everything off. I didn't like it, so I'm with that. We're in the first round of the NCAA tournaments. 16 games yesterday, 16 more today, and then we move to 8-8 on Saturday and Sunday. You were talking about, obviously, Saturday and Sunday, a lot of basketball, but you've got a race that you're going to watch.
Oh, record.
Well, you'll watch it at some point.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Do you ever do that, by the way? Do you ever record stuff that you plan to watch and they're just like, I'm not going to get around to it. I just delete this.
The biggest thing I try not to do is record sporting events. I do my best.
I don't do it.
I don't do that. Or if I do record it, it'd be because I want to go back and watch them. Like, I usually record the Falcons game and go back and see
it. But you watch it live.
But I watch it live for the most part, yeah. But no, I'm not, I mean, I try my best, unless we're going on a trip, a long trip or something, then I'll save up a lot of stuff that I've saved so I can watch it on the plane for the most part.
But might be a show, right?
Not it's a show. It's usually a show that I try to keep on the DVR as long as I can. But other than that, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't do sporting events. I'm on Twitter too much in general.
Right.
I'll see what happens, even if it's overnight. Like this morning, I woke up early and I started watching the World Indoor Track and Field Championships.
There you go.
So it's like if I don't watch them now, I'll see like some of the tweets about it. And I have a weird people I follow tweeting about indoor track.
Man. Yeah, that's not weird. That's just something that you're into. Man.
I've also got, and we're talking about bracket style tournaments, and obviously the NCAA tournament going on right now. And games are going to tip off 35 minutes, whatever it is. We're live at Hooters of Kennesaw. Myself and Randy. I've been watching the NCAA Division I wrestling tournament as well.
Okay.
And they got their quarterfinal round today at noon, semifinals tonight, and then the finals tomorrow night. I don't know. Just stuff I watch.
I mean, you like to see men wrestling with each other. There's nothing wrong with that.
Is that how you're putting it off?
Yeah, I'm just putting it there because it's you. But, I mean, I know that's a very challenging sport, and your palate is rich for sports, Abe. We all know this.
I'm out there.
Stuff that – you watch stuff that nobody that I'm close with as I am close with you watches. So I'll say that.
The thing for me.
Yeah, like I get my – I'm not going to call it weird, but other sports knowledge from you because, I know
– Yeah.
I'm not watching.
Yeah, and the thing for me is more than like just watching it, I am genuinely interested in not just entertained but informed, seemingly informed in some of these events.
I bet you got a ration outfit, don't you?
No. Like a singlet?
Yeah.
I have a singlet?
I think you do. I think you do. I think you're into some weird stuff, Abe. I think you sit down with one of them things. You remember the thing that the Steiner brother used to wear, the little ear thing?
Sure.
I bet you sit on there with all them TVs sitting like that watching that stuff, don't you?
With a singlet and a headpiece.
Yeah.
No.
I can see that. Bo?
No. What?
Bo, can you see that?
I think that's probably true, yes.
Yeah,
that's absolutely not true. What are you talking about?
I mean, I don't
have the body for a wrestling singlet, Randy.
I'm just trying to get there.
You're probably running
around your house like Rick Steiner barking, too, whenever.
You know what I'm saying?
Can't bark that loud inside the house. Chipper will get.
He'd be having Chipper the damn headlock and put it in a full Nelson.
I would never. I would never.
Okay.
16 games in the NCAA basketball tournament today. In Sports Radio 92.9, the game is Atlanta's home for the NCAA basketball championship. Join us for complete play-by-play coverage all the way through to the national championship game on April 7th. Brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors. By Humberto Injury Law, after an injury, we are your winning team. And by Hooters. Bounce into Hooters and catch every game. That's the NCAA tournament now through April 7th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And some interesting ones today here, Rainey. Kicks off again 12:15 on CBS. Mississippi State and Baylor. And you got to remember, Baylor's been a team that has been in that discussion. They've been a one seed before. Yes. They've been two or three seeds, and Scott Drew had them ramped up. Mississippi State, though, enters this game as the favorite, a small favorite. And again, I think an opportunity for not a bad day for the SEC yesterday, but a so-so day. I think this would be a nice win for the SEC. Alabama should take out Robert Morris after that. Iowa State is going to be interesting, 130. They should win. They should beat Lipscomb, but they are missing their best player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the thing with Iowa State is because they are missing their best player. That's why I think I was going to pick North Carolina anyways.
But of course you are.
I like North Carolina to win that game in their next round, as I do think they will advance if they against Lipscomb. But, you know, when you go back to the old SEC, whatever that is right there, I mean, this Baylor miss – the 8-9 matchup is always – that one for me. It's like
as we saw yesterday.
Yeah, as we saw with Creighton, Louisville, Georgia, obviously, and
that
Gonzaga.
One a little less so, maybe.
I think this has a chance to be more, you know, competitive because of the closeness of the 8-9s.
I was a little disappointed, and I'm hoping we get a little bit more of this today in the amount of scares put into some of the top seeds. And normally the one seeds handle business, the two seeds, but even the threes and fours, maybe the games were not, I wouldn't say close, right? Like Tennessee won by 15, Purdue won by, I think, 11, whatever it was. There were no, like, true scares for some of those top teams, and Drake took care of business. But interesting to see.
I saw Drake, they're poking fun at the SEC because they beat an SEC team, so, yeah.
That was an interesting story. Their head coach has won four straight D2 titles, and they brought, like, essentially a team of D2 transfers and took care of business.
But I mean, you look at a lot of those teams yesterday, that's where basketball is. Guys are going down. Yeah. A lot of these transfers are from big programs, and then they all team up and they go down. I think a lot of people look at it. You look at McNeigh. McNeigh has a lot of guys that are Division I transfer guys that come down to that level and play together. And so, I mean, that's the one thing about the transfer portal and all those different things is, like, these kids, they're older kids, but they've been at – I thought one was from Georgetown. You had one from Syracuse and guys like that.
A lot of opportunity where you're just not getting play time.
Exactly.
You go to a smaller school, you get
the
play time.
You went to the Division I for a reason.
Yeah.
But yet, you're not getting the play time. Like you said, you want to go somewhere and play and be a factor.
First game I'm, like, really highly anticipating is Colorado State at Memphis – or not at, but against Memphis.
Colorado's favorite. Colorado State's favorite.
Yeah, I took Colorado State. And I know Bunk mentioned this too. They've been blowing out everyone in this run up through their conference tournament. This is a 2 o'clock tip on TVS, Seattle, Washington. Memphis struggled a little bit in their conference tournament. They did win it. But they were really pushed, and it's going to be interesting to see that one. And then we mentioned it earlier. Number one Duke taking on Mount St. Mary's right there in their own backyard, Raleigh, North Carolina, which I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's like a little bit of Duke hatred, which I don't really have that much Duke hatred, but they should get out of North Carolina for some of these opening games, whether it's in Greensboro or Raleigh or somewhere like – I don't know. Find a way.
Well, I mean,
move them out.
Yeah, I mean, they are true blue blood. They usually get what they want. They get their. You're not sending them out west.
No,
you're not sending them to the Midwest. You're going to keep them in that East bracket so they can find a way to get there.
Even if they're not in the East bracket, though, they could be in the West bracket and play their opening rounds
They're going to always be in that area and everything. And going back to the Memphis, they're going to be – I'm reading up on it. They're going to be without a couple players, mainly at the guard position. And we know how the guards play in the NCAA tournament. So that's something to watch out for. I just want to see – I mean, they said Cooper Flagg is going to play.
Honestly, Cooper Kupp could probably join Duke and beat Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah, but I'm just curious how much they let him play today because he has been off for a while.
I can't believe he's really been off for a while.
I can't believe it either. I would have thought they would have sat him out. But they said he is going to play today. So he's active. He's active. And so whatever you want to take is that. But they say he is active. They don't have start or anything. They just say
they can
active.
Say that. The risk just doesn't seem worth
it.
And like, not every team should just automatically sit out a star. It's like Auburn shouldn't have sat out Jonai Broome yesterday just because it's a 16-1 game. Especially now in this era where we've seen teams fall, the 16-1, and But, yeah, I don't know. St. Mary's has a 7 seed taking on Vanderbilt. A lot of people like St. Mary's. They beat Gonzaga a couple times. They lost to them in the NCAA in their the West Coast Conference final. But St. Mary's probably could have been a 5 seed if they beat Gonzaga that third time. Now they're all the way down to the 7 line. They get Vanderbilt. That one at Cleveland, Ohio, and they've renamed that stadium 10 times. I think it's just Rocket. I think it's just called Rocket now.
Not Rocket Mortgage?
It's not Rocket Mortgage. I think it's just called Rocket. It's certainly not Quicken Loans anymore. The game you've been talking about a little bit, 405 TNT, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, North Carolina, the 11 seed out of the first four against the number 6 seed of the SEC, Ole Miss. And UNC comes into this as a 1.5-point favorite.
Yes.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact, one, not just that they won the first four game, but how they looked
they
doing
whooped
it.
Ass.
Yeah,
they did. And the biggest thing, hey, they were hitting their outside shot too, man. I think that, you know, when you look at North Carolina, all the hoopla about they should have been in, West Virginia should have been in, everything like that. Well, they left no doubt. Like, if they would have struggled but still won, it would have been like, see? But they went in there and they just
took care of it.
Annihilated.
Really took care of it.
Just went in and annihilated the team. And so they're in a place where, I mean, Ole Miss is a good basketball team. We talked earlier about them. They don't turn the ball over. Do a great job of taking care of the basketball. One of the best, not in the conference, in the country as far as that position. But I think when you look at guy to guy, Joe to Joe, North Carolina's a better basketball team, in my opinion, as far as just player for player on that team. That's why I think they're going to win this basketball game today. But
the question for me, and this is not solely for Ole Miss to answer, but how did playing in the SEC prepare teams maybe to deal with that? Teams that are either better than them or playing in tight games, stuff like that, trying to win when you don't have your best on a given day against a much tougher competition.
Yeah, but I think that you give a lot of people, and you were just talking about that conference competition, where they beat Tennessee and they beat Alabama.
They've shown they can do it.
So they've shown they can.
You got to bring it.
They've shown they can do it. So you got to bring it. Like you just said, you got to show that you can bring it.
I'm going to run through a bunch of games here. Tell me if any of these stick out to you. Grand Canyon against Maryland. That's a 4-13. Norfolk State, Florida.
No.
Number 3 Kentucky against Troy, 14 seed. New Mexico is the 10 against Marquette as the 7, and Akron as the 13 seed against number 4 Arizona. You could say none of these stick out.
Well, I mean, the New Mexico market, because
10-7s
are always interesting in that standpoint. But, you know, when you look at it, both of these teams, they got a lot of upperclassmen on them, New Mexico and Marquette, a lot of class.
Yeah.
We love Shaka. We talked a lot about Shaka yesterday as far as the coach and everything.
And
I love
Patino.
You got Patino, yeah. And that was the one thing I was like, damn. Reading up on us, like, damn, I forgot his boy was into coaching now. So,
but he's been killing it.
Give me Marquette today, though. Make sure. Let me look at my paper real quick. Who do I have here?
You could go.
Oh, damn! I got New Mexico.
You could go against your bracket.
I got New Mexico. I got New Mexico, and it's not screwing up. So I got New Mexico winning today.
Well, there we go. Number 9 Oklahoma and number 8 Connecticut. This one's fascinating to me. Connecticut, obviously, coming off of the 2 years that they've had. This season was anything but what those were. Dan Hurley's been the center of attention for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
But they fight their way into the tournament, and they're going to have to deal with, again, another tough Oklahoma team that is kind of tough to really gauge because of how far down they finished in the SEC. I feel like these SEC teams that are seeded 6, 7, 8, it's just tough for me to gauge them.
Yeah, it is. When you get a conference that gets all these damn teams in, and you're like, well, who's the better of the team? They're all kind of maybe kind of mid, but their mid is better than everybody else's good. And so that's why you see a lot of these teams that have gotten into the tournament. And you said it about UConn. I mean, they've been the most dominant program in America the past 2 years.
No doubt.
And then coming into this year, the expectations, a whole lot of hoopla this offseason with their coach. Is he going to go to the Lakers? Is he going to come back? We got to find somebody to give him.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he is, like you said,
in the headlines
and it happened at the invitation. Was it Maui or was it Bahamas that he was acting the damn fool? I mean, it's been, look at me, do you know who I am? The best freaking coach in America.
Coach in
I mean, he's had some episodes, man, and now it seems like, you know, he can't back it up, but they had a great run. Kind of reminds you of that Butler run back in the day, except they actually came
away with it.
They actually got it done. But, but he and his team, you know, you never underestimate a Harvard champion. Just like you said, not knowing what Oklahoma is.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they beat Georgia in the first round of the SEC tournament and all those different things, but you just don't know what you're going to get when you look at the the nines from the SEC nines, and like you said, the tens and those, and the Ole Misses, the Mississippi States, A&M, those type of teams in the SEC just don't know what to get when you're in this tournament right here.
A trio of games we can talk about later. We're going to get back into the tournament in the 1 o'clock hour. Xavier versus Illinois, Bryant against Michigan State, and Liberty against Oregon. We'll definitely talk about that Liberty game.
Liberty.
That's a trendy 12-5 pick. And so we'll get into that because McNeese already got one 12-5 there against Clemson, I think. So we'll see if you can maybe get two 12 seeds into the second round. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but when we come back, NFL no huddle. There was one rule proposal you guys didn't mention yesterday I wanted to bring up, plus a couple other Falcons have signed elsewhere and a couple other stories that kind of piqued my interest a little bit. We'll get into that on the other side. He is Randy McMichael. I am Abe Gordon filling in for my guy Andy Bunker. This is the Midday Show. We're live at Hooters in Kennesaw. Make sure you come by, stop by, and sign up for an opportunity to win tickets to one of the basketball games being played next weekend here in Atlanta. All that and more on the other side. The Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.